Happy Apple Butter Weekend. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for this beautiful weather we've been having. Please keep the ladies safe on the water this morning. Keep them safe on their trip back home. And be with the people that are still at Trailhead this morning, Lord. Show your Holy Spirit to them this morning and be in their service. Be in our service as well, Lord. Speak through me. Help me to convey what you've laid on my heart. Help me to nourish your body. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so if you're friends with me on Facebook, you know that I have a garden, and it makes me very happy. And I post pictures of my vegetables like I do my kids. I love my garden. It speaks to me. Yes, ma'am. So I love my garden. We're going to talk about gardening this morning. Is that better? Better, Graham? Okay. I listen to my elders. So let's start with Jeremiah. That's 17. We're going to do Jeremiah 17 if you brought a device or Bible with you this morning. I went old school. I didn't even bring my, I'm not even with my phone up here. I got a Bible and a notebook, like an actual notebook, not a notebook. So it's Jeremiah 17. I'll start reading verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched place and the wilderness, and a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but her leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So there's two plants represented here. One plant is represented by, these are people, obviously, this is an analogy. We're not talking about plants, we're talking about people of God. One plant represents someone who relies or trusts on himself or trust on man, and the other plant is someone who puts his trust in God. And something that I thought we should note in the scripture is one plant is wild. It's growing wild, and it's growing in a desert place in a dry, parched area, and it's not doing so hot. And the other plant is planted, which means it's owned. Well, we know as Christians, we're bought with a price. Our life is not our own. And so we are plants that are planted. We're owned. We belong to the gardener. So the plant that is planted firmly in the soil, and it's planted in a place where there's a river that runs through. We know that in the Bible, water generally speaks of the Holy Spirit. So we're firmly planted in good ground, and we're nurtured by the Holy Spirit that runs through us and feeds us. Let's look at very super similar scripture through the Message Bible and Psalms. It is Psalms 1, so that should be an easy one to find. Okay, so Psalms 1. Verse 3, I like it in the Message better than this one. Your tree planted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in bloom, or in blossom. You're not at all like the wicked, who are mere windblown dust. Without defense in court, unfit company for innocent people. God charts the road you take, the road they take is Skid Row. And can you put up 3:1-3? Yeah. There's a verse that says you thrill in God's word. And I think it's in the Message in this. Thank you. That's the one I wanted. I wrote down the wrong thing. I went 2. 2. Sorry. That was close. Thanks, Anna. So the soil that we're planted in is the soil of God's word. So the soil that we're planted in is the soil of God's word, and so our root system should be rooted in the Holy Spirit and grounded in the word of God. And so if we're thrilling in God's word and chewing on scripture day and night, then we're firmly planted and we're in a good foundation, right? So not everybody, not everyone was really, from a young age like me, blessed to have a family that nurtured me with God's word and fed me good soil all their life. And so not everyone is put in that kind of environment. But when I talk to people about, you know, you should have a garden, they'll say, oh, it must be nice to have all those tomatoes, must be nice to have this or that. And we'll have it, you know, plant a garden, you should have a garden. And they all say the same thing, oh, my soil stinks. I have bad soil. I don't have good soil where I live. Well, I have terrible soil where I live, and I'm growing all kinds of stuff. Because you can amend the soil. You can add things to the soil and feed that so that things can grow, right? Yeah. And so if you weren't brought up in a place and the nursery where you were raised, you know, as a seedling, wasn't good soil, and it wasn't something that was easy to grow in and grow in God's word and that sort of thing, and you weren't brought up in that, maybe you were in a rocky situation, so to speak, that can be amended. It's not too late for that, because when God takes you in and plants you, he plants you in a good place, and he's given us all that Holy Spirit so that when we accept salvation and we accept that into our lives, we're nurtured from then on out, and we have good soil. We have something that we can draw from. We have the book, and we also have the Holy Spirit that's indwelling in us, and that comes to reside in us and feed us because we're chosen, because we've been planted. We're not wild and out there on our own. We've been planted in a good spot, right? Yep. I like tomatoes. Tomatoes are why I started gardening to start with. And as long as I have a garden, I will have tomatoes. And it took me years to figure out how to grow tomatoes. I didn't grow tomatoes for years, even though I tried. This year, I had 5 varieties, and I had heirloom, which is the mecca of tomatoes, right? So I'm really excited about that. I just wanted to brag a little bit. So I have tomatoes, and so tomatoes are my jam. I love the tomatoes, okay? And so that's what I want to talk about in the next scripture in John 15. I like to think Jesus liked gardens. He talks about seeds and stuff a lot. I'm sure that's because, you know, he's trying to relate to his people, and they're all farmers in that time period, and he's speaking in parables and that kind of thing. But I like that because I like that stuff too, so that speaks to me. So we're in John chapter 15. Lisa shared this scripture a couple weeks ago. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It's a lot of repetition. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I used to read that verse and think it was kind of harsh. And I used to think, like, gee, if you're not doing what God wants you to do, he's just going to prune you off and throw you in the fire. And I just thought, boy, that's a little rough. You know, that seems kind of harsh. And God showed me something this summer in my garden. My dad had come over, and I was showing off, because when my parents come over, I like to show off my garden because I want to show it to somebody. I'm proud of it. And so he says, oh, your tomato plants are looking good. And they were. They were looking good. They were bushy. And they were, like, impressive looking. And I was like, oh, yeah, look at my tomatoes. They're, like, this big around. They're beautiful. And they were really lush and full. There were no tomatoes on them. And I said, yeah, they look really good, but I haven't gotten any tomatoes yet. So it's still early, because my dad, he encourages me even when I don't deserve it. And so he said, oh, it's still early. And I thought, well, a lot of people have tomatoes, but, you know, I have these big, beautiful bushes and nothing's growing on them. And then I read this article in Southern Living. I swear I'm going somewhere with this. So I read this article in Southern Living, and it was about this guy called the Tomato Man. And he lived in the South, obviously. And it's not even his job. He's not a farmer. He's not a commercial farmer or anything. He's a hobby farmer. But he produces like a tremendous amount of tomatoes, so much so that it got the attention of Southern Living magazine, and they came and did an expose on him. And so he's my hero. So so they go and they talk to this tomato farmer, and they joke that he goes to work to have a break from his farm and stuff like that. He just has all these tomatoes. And so they were asking him, you know, how do you get to grow so many tomatoes? And I thought, you know, he must plant, like, thousands of plants, or he must have this, like, huge system of, you know, irrigation and all these things. And he said, you know, the secret to tomatoes is the pruning. And he said, so when I, let me back up, let me also, if you don't garden, let me also tell you that if you are going to plant something, you know, if you're going to get a tomato plant from the nursery and it's this big, bury this much of it, okay? And so you want to get all the stuff off the bottom and really get that firm. Okay, so your first step is you're going to firmly plant in the Word of God, right? You're going to water that plant. You're going to have the Holy Spirit that's running through that and nourishing it. And you're going to prune. And he said, you know, my tomato plants tend to look a little puny. I only allow 2 or 3 branches per plant. That was shocking to me, because here I am with these tomato plants that are this big around. They look like bushes. And I'm proud because they look like bushes. But there's nothing growing on them. I don't have any tomatoes, right? And he's talking about getting thousands and thousands and thousands of tomatoes. And he's got these puny little pitiful things with 2 or 3 branches on them. And so I read it a couple times. I thought, that can't be right. That seems ridiculous. How are you going to get all the tomatoes off of like 2 or 3 puny branches? What are they going to grow on? You know? And so I kind of put that away and was thinking about it, and I go out to my garden the next morning and I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at all these impressive bushes that seem really full and busy and like they got a lot going on, right? And from that perspective, I'm thinking, you know, this should be fruitful. This should be something that produces something. It's not, so let me try something else. So I start out very small because I'm finally getting tomatoes to grow, and I don't want to kill them because I've done that a lot. And so I don't want to do that again, you know. So I'm like, you know, so I start very small. And I know, like, you start with all the suckers, you know, what suckers are. There's something that main vine is coming up, and there are just these little itty-bitty sprouts off the main vine. And they're not going to become branches. They're just little suckers. And so you have to pinch those off, right? Okay, so we know when we look at the scripture, the true vine, God is the gardener, the main vine, the true vine is Christ. We are the branches, right? And so if you have things in your life that are sucking the life out of you and they're not really gonna amount to anything, then you need to get those suckers off, right? So I start with the suckers and I pull the suckers off of all my plants. And I look at them and they still look pretty impressive. But they still aren't feeding me. And I think, okay, well, maybe I can do a little bit more. And so I start pruning a little bit more. And there's main branches, you know, that true vine that's coming up that I've planted firmly and I'm watering it. So it's growing. But I know from science classes, you know, that we all had as kids, that energy source is your root ball, right? And so any energy that's going out into that plant and any of those branches are going to come from the source, the root, and that's what feeds it. You know, the ground is going to feed that and nourish it, and you got to water it, but it's going to come from that. So you can't have just a branch growing off by itself. You can pull off a branch and plant it, and that's not going to do anything. You have to have the roots, right? So if you have just 2 or 3 branches coming off your plant, like the tomato plant or the tomato man did, it makes sense that those 2 or 3 branches are going to do well, because all of the energy that's coming from the true vine is going to those couple branches, right? If you have the ones that look like mine, where they're just busying themselves with producing and doing this and doing that and going this way and going that way, then it's empty. It's fruitless. So I start pulling off all the little tertiary branches, you know, not the big ones and not the ones that come off from those, but the ones from that, you know, because I'm still scared I'm going to hurt my tomatoes. And so I'm pruning and, like, snipping off here and there, and I'm looking for flowers, you know, because the blossoms mean that there's hope there, that there's going to be fruit. And so I've pruned down, and I prune down, and it's quiet, and I'm in my garden, and I'm thinking, and God puts it on my heart that, you know, Aaron, you need to prune. And I'm pruning, but he's not talking about my tomatoes. He's talking about my heart. You know, I need to prune back. And so I think of that verse, and I'm like, I don't want to go in the fire. Like, what is that? You know, and that's not what it's about, you know, because what I'm doing there when I'm pruning is I'm making the plant more fruitful and I'm making it grow better. I'm not going to kill it by pruning, because I know better. I'm not going to, like, break off the main branches of the tomatoes, right? And so even if I know that, God knows that he's not going to, like, you know, break me. You know, I'm not going to cut the top off of it. I'm gonna prune that down. And I'm guilty in my life. I'm not so much spraying poison on my plants with, you know, sin or whatever and withering and dying, killing it all. But, you know, I'm organic. I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I'm okay. And so I'm like, okay, well, what do you mean? Because I don't really feel like I'm, you know, poisoning the plant. What am I doing? And God showed me that, you know, I have a tendency to be very busy. And I think sometimes women have a tendency to be very busy, or at least this woman, I shouldn't say women. And this mom has a tendency to be very busy. And so sometimes I spread myself too thin. And so the energy that's coming from those roots is really getting spread out in a million different directions. And it's getting pushed out to 100 different things. And I'm carting the kids one place, and I'm waving to my husband as we pass, you know, by the door. And I'm busy, and from that perspective, that may seem full and busy, and it's productive, and there's a lot going on. And I, you know, I'm filling my plan up with stuff. But if I'm not feeding anybody with that, and that's not fruitful, then it's empty. That's not that impressive. You know, so maybe I need to prune back. And again, I'm not saying, like, you're sinning or anything like that. And maybe, okay, check your heart. I don't know. You know, maybe. You know, so pray about that. You know, ask God to speak to your heart this week. Are you spraying something on your plant that maybe is causing damage that you think maybe is going to help, but in the long term, that's not going to help anybody that's eating the fruit? You know, maybe. None of us are above repentance and a repentant heart, you know, repentant heart. And maybe it's not that. Maybe it's not about sin. Maybe it's like you just need to prune back a little bit because you're Martha. Let's look at that. Luke 10. Did I give you that one? Okay. Luke 10:38. Mary and Martha worship and serve. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered her and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, and that will not be taken away from her." I'm Martha. I mean, I'll be straight. I'm Martha. I'm like, Jesus is coming to my house. It's going to be spotless, and we're going to have a smorgasbord, and I need to make sure we have a place for everyone's coats, and the disciples are here, so we need to make sure that there's going to be a crowd following him, and so I want drinks for everybody, and we're going to have to, like, put out picnic tables, and, like, I'm calling a band, like, we're going all out, you know, and I totally would be Martha in this situation, and that's not so good, but that's the truth, like, my mom's a Martha. I learned from the best. Like, you come to my house, you're going to eat, whether you're hungry or not. You know, like, you're eating. And so I'd be in the kitchen doing the dishes, you know? And so that's not so good. That's a heart check for me when I read that, because I think, you know, I probably wouldn't be sitting there at Jesus' feet listening. I'd miss it. I'm a detail-oriented person, and I tend to get caught up in the details sometimes, and I can't see the forest through the trees. And so I think that's what God was dealing with when I was pruning those tomatoes. you know, I have an opportunity with my kids that all of us have, you know, when we have babies. I didn't cry yet, I promise, it wasn't tears. And so I have an opportunity with my kids, and I'm home with them, I homeschool. And so I have an opportunity to impart the word in them on a daily basis and to feed them scripture and to teach them to pray. And sometimes I get distracted. And the ministry that God's given me in that, I get caught up in the details, and I want them to have a well-rounded education, and I want them to have all these opportunities and expose them to as much as possible. And we're running to swim and robotics and learning Latin and doing these ridiculous things that I think, you know, will try to somehow, like, and I'm missing it, you know? Like, did I waste my day again on trivial things when I could have been imparting something bigger into them? And I'm, you know, that's not sin. But that's time spent, and this time that could have been better spent. And that's my point this morning. You know, you need to ask God to check your heart. Where can you prune? Maybe your thing is your career, and you're very career-focused and driven. And that's beautiful. That's great. And hard work and tenacity and all those things and providing for a family, and that's important. But are the tertiary branches overtaking the main branch? Are you work to, you know, earn, buy on things that you don't want and you don't even need, but you're trying to do and keep, and that's getting ahead of the main thing? Because when it comes down to it, in that verse about the vine and the branches, it repeats over and over and over again, abide in me, I'll abide in you. And is it getting pass to those little branches, and that's all bushing out and looking great on the outside and seems full, but if it's not getting enough energy and getting back to the source and abiding in that, then you're losing track, you know, even if it's church and you know, and things like that. If you're serving and signing up and doing this and doing that for the sake of obligation, or, you know, because you know, in frustration or bitterness or something like that, then you're getting away from the point too. So it could be anything. It's not that family is a problem or that career is a problem or even that church is a problem, but if you're getting away from the source, because my tomatoes aren't growing tomatoes to feed themselves. My plants don't grow tomatoes for themselves. They're growing tomatoes for me, okay? So as plants, and God is the gardener and Jesus is the true vine, is the fruit that we're producing, that's not even for us anyway. We're supposed to be producing fruit to nourish the kingdom of God. The fruit that you're making is not to feed you. It's not really about us. We're supposed to be feeding the gardener. We're supposed to be producing and being fruitful for the kingdom of God. And so let's look at what Proverbs says about that, because I like some of these. I didn't give Carlin any of these scriptures. I just wrote them down. Proverbs 15:15 says, a miserable heart means a miserable life. A cheerful heart fills the day with song. A simple life in the fear of God is better than a rich life with a ton of headaches. I think we all get tied up in going 100 different directions sometimes, and sometimes that's just a bunch of headaches. Like, we're just spending our energy and going in circles and not producing anything, right? Better a bread crust shared in love than a slab of prime rib served in hate. I probably, if Jesus was at my house, I'd be serving prime rib, because I feel like I could make that all right, you know. And I probably would be pretty aggravated by the time I got done, because I'd be stressed out, you know. And really, he just wants to sit down on the floor with us and break bread. And so, at least with me, I mean, I'll preach to myself. So at least with me, I tend to get away from, like, the sit down and break bread, and I get all caught up in the prime rib, you know? Mortals make elaborate plans, but God has the last word. I used to say that a lot when I was pregnant. We make plans, God laughs. Mortals make elaborate plans, but God has the last word. Humans are satisfied with whatever looks good. God probes for what is good. Put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place. That's from Proverbs 16. That's not the book of Aaron. That's Proverbs. Put God in charge of your work, and then what you've planned will take place. So I save seed sometimes because I like something that's grown and I don't want to start with inferior seed again, right? I want to take the seed from the good stuff. So I grew watermelons this summer, and I had some watermelons that were puny, and they would have fed a person. And then I had some nice fat suckers that, like, we got tired of watermelon, right? And those were the ones that made Facebook, obviously, not the little ones, you know. So I pile up the big ones. And so what am I going to save seeds from, right? I'm going to save them from the little watermelons, or I'm going to save them from the big, fat, juicy watermelons. So obviously I've got a baggie of seeds from my big, fat ones. So the next year I'm going to get big, fat watermelons again, right? So what kind of seeds are you spreading? What are you, if you're implanting a seed in tomorrow's generation and the seeds that are coming next season, you know, my children, I'm planting seeds. I want me to be the best plant that I can be because the best I have is what I want to give to them. And I want that to that legacy to continue on. You know, I want to be the, I want the best that can come out of me to be in them because I want them to be better. I want them to be more fruitful, not just in life, not just in being big and bushy and looking successful on the outside because it seems full, but I want it to be something that's going to nurture people. I want them to have a ministry that's going to touch lives and feed the gardener. Sometimes we get volunteer plants. So if you know what a volunteer plant is, I know Hannah had volunteers at her house because she threw stuff in the compost and then stuff came up. We had the same thing happen at our house. We had a ton of pumpkins last year. I didn't plant pumpkins last year, but we had a huge bed of pumpkins last year, pumpkins everywhere. We didn't even go to the pumpkin patch. I mean, we had enough. And I didn't plant pumpkins. The year before, we had carved these nice pumpkins that we got, and we scooped out all the seeds and threw what we always do. It goes in the compost, and that goes out. And so the next year, when that compost I got poured out on my bed, I'd forgotten that there were pumpkin seeds in it, and they were growing everywhere. They were overtaking the stuff that I had planted because of so it was just a year for pumpkins. And those are volunteers. They sprung up. I had some tomatoes this year that went on the outside of my raised beds, so I know I didn't plant them, but they were caught up in the wind from the seeds that came off of my tomatoes that I had last year, right? So, you know, whether they've come through compost or they've come in the wind, something that I planted, a seed came up off of that and caught in the wind that was carried away and planted at another place. Sometimes we have things that are coming off of us. You know, whether you think about it or not, there's stuff, things coming from you all the time. And you want that to be good seed. You know, and so you need to nurture your plant, and you need to have that, you know, you need to be feeding that plant and watering that plant and keeping that vital because things are coming off of you all the time. They're blowing and catching in the wind. And you don't know where that's going to fall, and it's happening whether you realize it or not. It's just nature. That's just the way that God intended it. So you need to make sure that your plant is healthy so that when that's getting caught up and planted somewhere else, that's growing into good seed. Because we're always planting.
You know, the year we had those volunteers, Eric tried all summer to get the spaghetti squash to grow. And he did everything he could for that plant. And we got like two off it that year, and they were hard as rock, and we couldn't eat them. And he was doing everything that he could. He was pruning it, and he was giving it everything organic that he could and looking at all of the things, and it didn't happen. But the plants were healthy enough when he just pulled them out of the ground and threw them in the compost pile. The next year, we had dozens and dozens of spaghetti squash. We gave spaghetti squash to everyone we knew. We had to feed it to, like, give it to people to feed to, like, their animals. Like, we could not do anything with all of the spaghetti squash. It was more than we could eat. And sometimes we put in all of the labor just for it to be planted somewhere else, for it to grow, and you don't realize what you're doing now and how it can affect something in the future, because he had done all that work, and then it got planted somewhere else because he had just pulled it out and thrown it in the compost pile. But it was enough that then at that point, it just grew. And so we do all of this work, and we don't see the fruit of our labor, and we think that this is not worth it. And we take it out and we throw it away. But then wherever it becomes planted next is where it's really meant to be, and that's where it'll produce.
And that's the best best kind, because you didn't have to pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have to do anything, right? So it's just extra. It's bonus. I tell the kids, those are bonus. Don't touch those. Those are bonus plants. We didn't have to pay for those, you know? And so isn't that the best kind? Isn't that what you really what you want? Yeah. Especially, you know, like with your kids, you want them to, like, okay, well, I'll just work my guts out just so you turn out okay. You know what I mean? Like, isn't that what parents do? Like, you just work your guts out and hope that their plant grows, you know? And so, yeah, that's the best kind, volunteers. And it's not just your kids. I mean, it's not just your kids. Plenty of you have planted seed in me. And whether you're my mama or my daddy or not, you've planted seed in me over the years, and you've nurtured me and helped me to grow. And I appreciate that, you know. Also, we all have a different ministry. I've seen tomatoes growing upside down. I've seen them growing on rooftops. I've seen them growing in the city on balconies, you know. I've seen them growing in the country and piles of them in the fields. And so whether your thing is, you know, Jack is plugging away at the substance abuse problem in our community and making headway and making a big difference in that. You know, Hannah's ministering to children in the schools, and I know my mama is too, and Jim will be soon, and Lisa. And I appreciate that. I want seed planted in that. And that's going to bloom. That's going to blossom. It's going to grow. You know, Caleb is ministering to college kids, and I divinely believe that my children were placed in my life. They're, you know, we're connected. We were connected together and put together for a purpose. And I don't know exactly what they're going to go off to do, but that's my ministry. And my ministry may look upside down tomatoes to you or like a rooftop garden, but I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. And so if God has put something in your life and it makes your eyes light up and it, you know, it's something that you think you're divinely planted in that place, the Bible says there's spring up a well and water in the desert and things like that. So it may look like I'm growing wild out here by myself sometimes, and you feels like you're the one that's growing wild in the desert in the dark. But there's springs in the desert. And so you may have been planted in that very place to nurture the people around you. And so heart check this week, you know, pray about that. Ask, what do I need to prune back? What am I expelling all this energy on, this empty energy that I could be pruning back to abiding in that and connecting to that true vine so that I can produce fruit, not fruit for myself, not fruit that I can be proud of and put on Facebook, but something that's going to feed the kingdom of God and nurture the world spiritually. And if that's not it, you know, if you're doing good and you're keeping things in order a lot better than I am, then find someone to support and trellis. You know, Pastor Lisa has a lot on her plate. And so I don't really enjoy this, I'll be honest with you. I don't feel like I'm in the position to be up here in front of you. You know, she does a much better job at this than I do. But I try to be a stake and help lift that up. Because she's doing a ministry, and she's called to something where she's producing a whole lot of fruit, and she's not getting weighed down because she's taking on too much extra stuff. She's getting weighed down because of all the fruit she's producing, and sometimes that can get heavy. And so sometimes we need to come in and put down a stake or put down a trellis. I drag in patio chairs and stick in my garden and lay things over them and things like kids' toys. We've got plastic lawnmowers and all kinds of stuff in my garden. It looks like a crazy thing. But it's propping stuff up because sometimes even the fruit gets heavy and it's hard to weigh in before you can harvest that. And so, you know, ask God to speak to your heart. If you're spraying something that's going to kill the plant, you know, then think about that. You know, ask God to cleanse your heart of that. If it's something where you're just spreading yourself too thin and you're not getting back to the true vine of things, then ask God, what can I prune in my life so I can be more fruitful for you? And if that's not the case, then find someone that you can support, you know, and put in a stake and help hold them up. You know, Moses wasn't about that. He had people holding his arms up. So we can plant in and stake in and help hold up the fruit. Okay.
Aaron, sometimes seed grows where we don't expect it. You know, sometimes we look at that earth and think, there ain't nothing ever going to grow in this, you know. And then there's some people that we look at and think, you know, they're not producing anything, or they ain't got what it takes to grow something big, you know. And then you look around and you see where God does use people and places to spring up something that nobody expected it to have, you know. Jack brought me some tomatoes the other evening. He brought me some green tomatoes to fry, and he brought me some ripe ones. And they had a really good taste to them. And he came in, and I told him, thanks for the tomatoes, and they tasted really good. He said, well, you know, Mom, I didn't plant them. He said, Sean brought me a load of cow manure, and he said, they just come up out of that cow manure. But they was really good tomatoes, nice big ones. So, you know, and sometimes we are particular what branch we eat fruit off of, but if God planted it, then it's got to be good. You know what I mean? And when it springs up out of somebody that you think maybe had a bad reputation or a bad, you know, people didn't respect them or think they would ever be any good or produce anything for the kingdom of God, and those usually are the people that bring forth the most fruit. They appreciate where they've come from and where they've been. Sometimes I think about Jack and I, who'd have ever thought that we would have produced anything that would have amounted to what it has. You know, and I just give God praise and glory, because I'm glad he's the fruit inspector. You know, that we don't have to, everybody else's opinion doesn't matter, right, but his does. Yeah. And if it's good fruit for him, then it's good fruit for everybody.
That's the truth. I planted, I told you about the heirloom tomatoes, and my mom, every time she'd come over, she'd look at the she's like this, I have like this thing on my counter that I pile up all my vegetables on, and she would say, what are those? I said, those are my heirloom tomatoes. That's what I'm excited about. Like, are they supposed to look like that? Yeah, they're ugly, but they're good. They're the ugliest tomatoes you've ever seen in your life. And I found this winter, thank you for Martin's. I love Martin's. Martin's had, they market them as ugly tomatoes. They say on the sticker, ugly tomatoes. And I was like, oh my gosh, they have real tomatoes here. Because I see them and they're hideous, and you know they taste good. You know, because those like weird colors, and they have like the gnarly looking. Generally, you buy grocery store tomatoes and they taste like water. They don't taste like anything. They don't have flavor to them. They're not good tomatoes, but they had ugly tomatoes. If you see the sticker that says ugly tomatoes, that's what I was growing. And they're hideous. They're ugly. They look awful. They look like a gourd. It's something. And they're the best tomatoes you'll ever eat in your life. And so, yeah, I get it. You know, God calls the increase, and it may not come from something that looks like it's going to amount to much, but those are the ones that you want. If somebody says, hey, come get some tomatoes in my garden, get those. They're really good. And, you know, and the nice thing, too, is there's an heirloom. They're a heritage breed, and so they've been, kind of stood the test of time. And so there's people in our congregation that have kind of stood the test of time. I'm certainly not calling you ugly at this point. Okay. Let's make that very clear. Very clear. But the point is, they've stood the test of time, and they've stayed around, and they're not always what's mass-produced, because they're not always good when it comes to being disease-resistant and things like that, but they taste better than anything you can get, and so that's why they've stuck around. And then there's these hybrid breeds, this new stuff, and it's like, you know, they're very tenacious, and they're weather-hardy, and they can withstand disease and things like that, and they're very pretty. You know, but and they produce well. You know, they're genetically bred to produce more, and they take the best of the seed and things like that. But the whole point of the matter is if you're gonna have, you know, tomatoes, do you want one kind or do you want like five kinds? You know, like I grew this year because I like to see on the plate all the colors, and you know, they're beautiful. I have a lot of pride in that. You know, when I can put green and yellow and purple ones and the ugly ones and all of them together, and that really makes the best, you know, tomato salad or tomato pie or tomato sandwich. I mean, I eat tomatoes every day. But, yeah, what do you want? And so that's a good congregation to have. You know, we're blessed with a nice mix. And so I appreciate that. Does anyone else have any thoughts? Or good. I have strict orders from Pastor Lisa.
I want to tag one to what Pastor Shirley said. Is everybody? I guess I'm in trouble too. And there are a few ugly tomatoes in here. But to tag on what Pastor Shirley said, and everybody in here knows this better than me, probably, but look through the generations of your family. From what I understand, this used to be a garden, and all they did was prepare the soil. God blew the seeds where he wanted to blow them. It was up to you to farm that. So all your generations have farmed that while the seeds have kept blowing in here. So you can't say that, and I'm sure she would say the same thing, that Lisa's better than you or that Pastor Shirley's better than you. You're doing what you need to do this morning. And there's more seeds blowing. And your kids are going to be okay because those seeds have blown in too. And you're going to farm that. And they're going to grow and they're going to farm that. We've all had family situations like this, but we got to trust that the seeds are going to blow where they are. Right. Our job is to farm those seeds.
Yeah, and you were talking earlier about, you know, you were talking earlier about spending time with your kids and wondering if it was time well spent. It's always time well spent, all the time. My boys are grown and are married, but when they were growing up, I was their biggest fan. They were the most important thing to me, and they knew that, like your kids know that with you. And now the relationship that I have with my boys, I wouldn't trade it for the world. But it's because of that time spent and what I did pour into them. Even the times when we were driving out to the hunt club, I had them in the truck for 2 hours. They couldn't get away from me. So, you know, that was my time to pour into them and to talk to them, not just as their dad, but as their friend, as somebody who cares for them and does the things for them, but as someone who cares for their life ahead. And now I look at, you know, I couldn't be more proud of any of the three of them, but never underestimate the time that you spend with your kids and that pouring in, because the word always says, raise up a child in the way it should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. And I'm seeing that now, and you will see that in a time.
Participation. This is a teacher's like biggest dream. When you ask a question and you actually get a response. But I was thinking about the tomato thing too. Sometimes when you're called to be a tomato, other people might see your tomato as just being red, but there's lots of different kinds of tomatoes. And so sometimes they may, in an effort to make your tomato more red or to make your tomato more yellow, they might put something on it. You know, they might put a pesticide or try and change it. But it's kind of the same principle that Mom talks about. A cherry tree will never produce anything but cherries. And so sometimes when God calls you to something, your tomato, if you're a yellow tomato, then go with it. Not all tomatoes are the same for a reason. And so that was just my thought.
Well, I was just thinking when you were reading that tree vine scripture, I was reading it in the message along with you, and it said that it was organic and intimate. Everything that he put in it was organic and intimate. And there will be true gardeners, those ones that this is their biggest love of their life, that really want to see something produced, not because they can say, look at how all these things I did, but because I want the best tasting tomato. Even if it's ugly, I want it to have the best things in it for me. And so I plant an heirloom because that's a seed that's been untouched. And that's a seed that's true, and so I plant that. And then everything that I give into that is organic and intimate. I'm not putting any pesticides and I'm not putting any chemicals in, and I'm getting down in there and I'm personally pulling out everything that's bad and I'm pushing things with my own hands down into the soil. And so sometimes there's those of us that aren't necessarily the plant, but we're the stake, or we're helping to garden and we're putting things that are organic and intimate back down into the soil for other things to grow. And I just that particular piece just hit me. It's organic and intimate. It's one-on-one. It's nothing but something true.
I think it's important that we realize that everybody's not got the same garden. I mean, Erin talks about her garden, but it's raised beds. It's not a garden as big as this building. And it's just a wee little, it's just a couple little raised beds. They're not very big. It's smaller than Andy's, but she's got tomatoes. So I think it's important that we all realize that we all don't plant the same. I don't have to plant like Erin to produce something, and she don't have to plant like Andy to produce something. I think sometimes we look at other people and we think, well, if I could just be like them, you know? I've said this before. I mean, Andy's talked about this. Why don't I have a desire like other people's got, or why don't I get the zeal to come to all this stuff or to do all this stuff that other people do, and they say, oh man, that was really great. And I'm thinking, well, it was great, but I don't know if it was that great. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm being honest here. And because I like yellow tomatoes, you might not like yellow tomatoes, but that don't mean that we don't enjoy tomatoes. I don't have to get the same thing out of conference that everybody else does. I don't have to get the same thing out of camp that everybody else does. I don't have to, that don't mean God ain't working in me. Just because I don't get the goosebumps when somebody sings or prays, and you might, don't mean that we're still not producing something. And I think sometimes we are our worst enemy when we plant, because not everybody farms the same. I mean, we have to realize that we don't all farm the same. How I might nurture to a kid in school, you might not want to. And there's plenty of people said, I don't want your job. Well, there's some of y'all's jobs I don't want either. But, you know what I mean? But wherever God sets us is where we plant. I mean, the Bible says wherever you're planted, grow. So, you know, wherever your plant is, whether it's at work at Pepsi or whether it's new jobs or whether it's running to D.C. on a train or whatever it is, if you're working in a middle school or if you're just babysitting somebody's kid or if you're just homeschooling, wherever you're planted, plant. And you're not going to produce the same thing I produce, so don't try to do it. And I can't try to do what you do, because I'm not going to be able to do it. So don't be inferior of what your plan is. And maybe everybody don't want to taste your plan. I mean, I'm like Erin. I always, that story of Martha and Mary, it used to aggravate me. I mean, it aggravated me. I thought, that woman's trying to give all she's got. You know, I'd have cleaned my house, and I'd been serving him. I'd have bringing him the food, and here, eat this, get this, you know. And, I mean, I'd have had the robe and whatever he needed. And I thought, the other one's sitting down there on the floor just talking. This doesn't make no sense to me. I don't understand. That didn't mean that I didn't have, it didn't mean that Martha didn't need to serve. She just got her perspective screwed up. She could serve all she wanted. She just needed to get there and listen to what he was doing. She could have been listening and getting something from him while she was serving, but she was too worked up in the serving. But it used to offend me. I thought, now wait a minute, I like to do this stuff. Why is this wrong? Why this is wrong? But it's not wrong to serve. There's nothing wrong with serving, but you got to have the perspective to listen while you're serving, because sometimes somebody can minister back to you in the process of while you're serving.
Anyone else? Hey, buddy. All right, let's pray again. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Speak to our minds today and this week even, and help us to see what you want us to do. Everyone in here, Lord, is someone that's been planted, and we have the soil, and we have the Holy Spirit. But we want to be fruitful, and not for ourselves or to look good, but to feed you and to feed your kingdom and to nurture souls and nurture lives, because that's what gardens are all about. Help us to see individually how we can apply this to our lives, Lord. Bring the scripture to remembrance this week and help us really, Lord, to walk that out and live that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I give you praise.